right from the sacrifice on the cross to being the baby, from being the baby in the manger, the sacrifice on the cross, and then to the resurrection. Our God was in control of every single thing, every single moment, and he's in control in every single moment now as well. Yeah, I just want to say, Father, ask that you'd be sensitizing us more to Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's moving this morning. He's been touching this morning in power and in might. And pray that the Holy Spirit would be touching our ears, touching our hearts, touching our minds to receive, to sense his presence. Who are you? Who are we in Christ? Shall we say our declaration? In Christ, I am who the Bible says I am. I can have what the Bible says I can have. And I can do what the Bible says I can do. And that's a lot. Who are you? You're a child of God. You're born again of the Word of God. You're forgiven and washed by the blood of Jesus. You're accepted in the Beloved. You're alive with Christ. They're just some of them. And I keep bringing different ones before you. And there are lots more than I've got on my two lists of who we are in Christ. But as I said last week, I'm going to say again, but let's remember that we are a work in progress. That God's touching us. We're being transformed from one degree of glory to another. That's what the Word of God says. So if you're objecting to that, take it up with God, not me. Yeah. Philippians 2 and 13 in the Passion says, God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him. Do you feel implanted yet? Trust you do. That God is going to implant you with his passion. Yeah. And it depends which way we look at passion, but we're talking in the godly sense of the passion. To actually reach out to others, to help others, to be moving on. God's going to implant that. There's going to be a deposit put in within us. Are we listening to God? Are we allowing him to do what pleases him? You never know. It might be the end of the telephone call. It might be going in and somebody saying, listen to this. We don't know. Or it may be somebody knocking on the door saying, I've come for a cup of tea. Yeah. But whatever, God is looking to us. Yeah. Are we listening? Remember, last week we were continuing to look at the unseen kingdom. How Jesus spoke about the kingdom of heaven. How important the kingdom of heaven is to him. After praising God, the next priority in the prayer that he gave us is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus was born a king. His mission, his assignment, which he accepted, was to re-establish the kingdom of heaven here on earth. He taught us to pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus wants us to take dominion, to take back the rule of this earth. That's his children. That's the church. The true church. We looked at a kingdom requirement. We've heard it again this morning. To be born again. And to be born of water and the Spirit. He told us where the kingdom is. In Luke. In the midst of you. Within us. Different versions have different things. The Passion. The kingdom is not discovered in one place or another. For God's kingdom realm is already expanding within some of you. So the kingdom is within us. And the kingdom is expanding within us. Do you feel you're growing in God? Because if you're growing in God, the kingdom is expanding. Let's remember Jesus said, though, in Matthew 7, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. So, what's the kingdom of heaven like? Jesus went on to explain what the kingdom of heaven is like. Matthew 13 is the chapter about the kingdom, with several examples of the kingdom of what the kingdom's like. We looked at last week the parable of the sower. Yeah, which is a very familiar thing, but we think we took it on a slightly different slant. You know, it was that God is the farmer. We are the different areas of land, and the seed is the word of God. And so how do we listen? Do we just hear and carry on and forget? Or do we take care how we listen? Do we listen carefully and begin to understand? Or do we hear the word of God? Do we understand the word of God? And then do we go and do what the word of God says? Three different ways of listening. Each one of us knows which one we are. And sometimes we might just hear and carry on. Other times we might carry out and practice. But we're a work in progress. We're learning to hear better, our trust. We looked at what are kingdom attributes. And the first one I laid down was love. That's love for God, love for each other, and a love for the lost. So we'll continue looking at what the kingdom is like. Because there are many aspects of what the kingdom is like. As there are many attributes. Jesus wants us to recognize and to be at ease, if you like, be comfortable with kingdom experience so we know what's going to happen. He's showing us the kingdom. But if we go back to Matthew 13 and verse 24, this is an aspect that perhaps we don't want to like. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us to go then and gather them and pull them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them into bundles to burn them, but then gather the wheat into my barn. Well, we know we have an enemy, don't we? And Satan wants to oppose the kingdom. He wants us to keep ignorant of the things of God and the things that God wants us to have. Earlier on in Matthew, when he's talking about the sowing of the seed of the field the first time, we see in verse 4, they're the birds of the air. And they come and they snatch away what Satan, what's been sown in our hearts by God. And the birds represent Satan. Now, this doesn't happen to everyone. As we saw, different fields, different parts of the field had different results. But Satan doesn't give up there by just sending the birds of the air. He employs another method, and that's sowing tares. Sowing the tares in the field amongst the good wheat. And it's very subtle. You can't tell a tare when it just starts growing. It's only later on when there is no crop that you can tell there's a tare. I'm quoting from J.C. Ryle again. In the first place, this parable teaches us that good and evil will always be found together in the professing church until the end of the world. The visible church is set before us as a mixed body. It is a vast field in which wheat and tares grow side by side. We must expect to find believers and unbelievers, converted and unconverted, the children of the kingdom and the children of the wicked one, all mingle together in every congregation of baptized people. That's quite shocking when you listen to that. But remember who J.C. Ryle was. The purest preaching of the gospel will not prevent this. In every age of the church, the same state of things has existed. It was the experience of the early fathers. It was the experience of the reformers. And it's the experience of the best ministers at the present hour. Humanly, we would say, right, let's weed the tares out. But Ryle puts it, in our zeal to gather up the tares, we are in danger of rooting up the wheat with them. Such zeal is not according to knowledge and has often done much harm. Those who care not what happens to the wheat, providing they can root up the tares, show little of the mind of Christ. And after all, there is a deep truth in the charitable saying of Augustine, those who are tares today may be wheat tomorrow. Those who are tares today may be wheat tomorrow. We can say that's impossible. With God, all things are possible. Does it shock you that wheat and tares are together in the church? We recognize it in the world, but in the church? Yeah. And I'm not looking at anybody. I'm not pointing you out as a tare or a wheat. Yeah. But that's what he says. Well, trust that we're in a position, as we've been going on, that God has been changing us and moving things forward. And that, you know, I believe he wants to say, well done, good and faithful servants. You know, for each one of us, we are endeavouring to move on in the way that God would have us. See, Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthians, he understood this all too well. He said in 2 Corinthians 11:26, in perils among false brethren. So the brethren were the church. So Paul recognized that there was falsehood in the church. Not Jesus said, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus recognized that. Again, in Galatians 1:6-10. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. And he goes on, expounds on that. You know, if anyone preaches other than the gospel that we've got for you, that I've taught you, that's what Paul says, don't listen to them. That's a false gospel. Yeah. How many cults are there around? How many false gospels are being preached today? Satan's good, isn't he? In that he uses an element of truth or half a truth and then embellishes with false. And we've got to be aware of what's going on to recognize what is true and what is false. In Romans, Paul talks about false righteousness within the church. In Revelation 2:9, he talks about the counterfeit church. In Thessalonians 2, it tells us of the coming of the lawless one, the false Christ. We need to be aware of all of these things. It's a check for us. Are we recognizing? Are we following the truth? Are we righteous? Are we set apart to God? These are only questions we can ask ourselves and answer ourselves, because we know our hearts. And I'm making it aware for us, because as we are at this size, it's one thing, we know everybody and what's going on. But when revival comes, how many people are going to be in this place? How many services are going to be going on? That's what we've been looking at. We've got capacity for nearly double the chairs that we've got here, and we haven't got every chair full yet. But who's going to be coming in? Who's going to be coming in just to witness the miracles? To come in and see the healings? We won't know. But we need to have our antennae up. To who's false? Who's a wolf? Who's coming in to try and destroy? Who's coming in to try and disrupt? Who's coming in to get rid of the harmony? We need to be aware of that. We need to be sure who we are. And that's why we'll go through, who are we in Christ? And take these to heart and pray them into being. What do we believe? Who do we believe? We want our eyes and our ears open to detect falsehood. As I said, the wolves that would seek to damage. But what about the little foxes that are cute but do an awful lot of damage? Our first priority is to keep our relationship with Christ right. Because the second thing that this parable tells us, there will be a separation. In verse 30, we're told, I get the right page up, that the angels will be sent out to gather the tares and burn them. So there is going to be a separation, and the wheat into the barn, that's the wheat into heaven. That's God's store place. The righteous, verse 43 says, the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Very stark message from Jesus, that there is going to be a separation, that there are those in the midst who aren't true believers, but it's a case we've got to be careful. But how we approach this. Isaiah 43:19 says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. It's a verse we know regularly. Now it springs forth. Shall you not know it? Or in other versions, shall you not perceive it? That's the version I like. That God says, shall you not perceive the new thing that I am doing? God wants us to know. He wants us to be informed. He gives us a chance to get right. If we're not right already, the warning's there. Jesus said in Matthew 13:43, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus is saying, look, listen, will you? I'm giving you the warning. I'm giving you the chance. Get hold of it. Listen to it carefully and put it into practice. How do we hear? Are we just listening? And changing the metaphor, giving it lip service, or are we actually going the whole hog and putting it into practice? In the words of Augustine, those who are tares today may be wheat tomorrow. How? Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What a work in progress. God can change us if we're willing. If we're obedient, if we lay hold of what his word tells us. And I like that, and I'm repeating it again. Changing us from one degree of glory to another. Do you like glory? Yes. Yeah, that just come to me now. Godfrey Birtle. Glory in the dentist chair. Yes. I was in the dentist chair this week. David rang me up, my phone went, I said the dentist, that'll have to go. Anyway, God moved. From starting off, it was going to be a tooth extraction. It wasn't. It was filled, sorted out. 15 minutes in the chair and I was out. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Glory in the dentist chair. You know, and it's good, you know, you can speak in tongues. When you, well, not speak, but mentally think when the dentist's going on. You know, and that just lifts you out of the way. Is they're going, no anaesthetic, anything, just straight away, drill it out, redo it, and that's it sorted. Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord. Yes, glory in the dentist chair. Yes. Yes. What is our mindset? What do we believe about our authority? Satan saying, you can't do that. But Jesus says, step out in faith. Step out in faith. And Friday morning, I think it was Friday morning, I was having my quiet time. And I just, oh, what's that smell? It was a lovely smell when I was praying. I was getting excited, you know. Fragrance of the Lord's come into the place. And then it went away. Oh, it's gone. Then it came back again. Oh, great, it's back. And then I realized it was the soap on my hands. Yes, there's a lovely smell of lemons. But there again. Now then, what happens in the natural happens in the spiritual a lot of the time, doesn't it? And I'm believing we're going to sense the aroma of God. The aroma of God to come in for each one of us. Because I believe God's got a new anointing for us. An anointing of healings, salvations, of moving out, of growth that God's got for us here as a body. Yes. Keep your antennae up. Keep your nose open. See what God's going to say and bring this aroma. Smith Wigglesworth, I am more and more convinced every day I live that very few who are saved by the grace of God have a right conception of how great their authority is over darkness, demons, death, and every power of the enemy. More and more convinced every day he lives. Because he was moving in power, but he was recognizing more and more that the body didn't recognize who they were, who they are in Christ. Because everything we said there is true. We can, in Christ, have all things. We are complete in him. Our inheritance is in him and from him. Jesus said, all authority is given to me. Now go. That's go out in Jesus' authority. Matthew 11:11. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than you. What an amazing statement. Whoever's the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. Have you thought about that before? John the Baptist is called the greatest of all the prophets. John didn't do any miracles that's recorded. He preached the gospel and he baptized people. And when you think, he's greater than Elijah and Elisha, who raised the dead, who healed, who produced, you know, all the things that they did, stood up against all the prophets and whatever. But there we go. That's what the Word of God says. John was greater than the other prophets, but the least of us is greater than John the Baptist. So I don't know what you think about yourself, but I want to encourage you. this morning. You may think you're the least, but God says you are greater than John the Baptist. How can this be possible? How is this possible? John was under the old covenant. The Holy Spirit came and went under the old covenant. It was a visitation and then would go. When John said to Jesus in Matthew 3, I need to be baptized by you, when Jesus went to be baptized, John recognized that he needed the baptism of Holy Spirit. But that wasn't going to come till after the cross. After the cross, after Ascension Day, after Pentecost, that particular Pentecost, Holy Spirit came and that changed things. Jesus said, you are now under the new covenant. As was said, not a sacrifice of animals, a sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. We are living in the new covenant. We have Holy Spirit within us. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit resides within us. He doesn't come and visit and go. He's with us as we move forward. The Holy Spirit, as we said, we're a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enables us. He comforts us. He empowers us. He gives us wisdom. He gives us gifts. He guides us. All of these things. That's what makes you greater than John the Baptist. And that's who makes us greater than John the Baptist. Because of the empowering he gives us. We can do if we are willing. Do we trust God? Do we obey him? Are we prepared to step out for him? Father, give us a new concept of how great our authority is. And help us to recognize and accept the mantles you place on us, the empowering you pour on us. Father, help us to be good witnesses for you. We may be alongside tares, but don't allow us to be influenced by them. On the contrary, enable us to influence them to repentance and acceptance of Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Yeah, for the furtherance of your kingdom, Lord. So the kingdom of heaven is like a field planted with wheat and tares. As we live in the field, we are to develop another attribute, the attribute of repentance. And we can share the value of repentance. Past sin removed, a clear conscience, no spiritual debt, as Jesus paid the price. The knowledge of this, of repentance, can release so many captives and convert them from a tear to a wheat. Not possible? Yes, it is. With God, all things are possible. And he wants to use you, each one of you, because you're under the new covenant. And because you are called, you are chosen, you are appointed, you are anointed to go and bear fruit. And that fruit's not going to rot. That fruit is going to last. Because that fruit is going to populate heaven. Heaven on earth and heaven in heaven. Amen.